How great thou art. How great thou art. Father, we worship you. We bless your name because indeed you are great. There is none like unto you. We bless your name. We appreciate you for another time to gather in your presence, to be fed and nourished in the word of life that is to take us into the fullness of your plan and purpose. We appreciate you for open heavens tonight. We appreciate you for the visions of God tonight. We appreciate you, O Lord our God, for the word of God that comes expressly tonight. We appreciate you, O Lord, for the good hand of God that will be stretched forth tonight to touch us at every point where we need to be touched, and to confirm the word of God with signs and wonders following. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you as you have mercy on me. As I bring forth this word, so I will bring it forth under the covenant of our safe fathers as an oracle of God. And thank you as you help your people, that every one of us will receive this word, not as a word of a man, but as the word of God indeed, so that it will work effectually in us and produce the fruit that you desire, that we all will be changed by the reason of this word, in the name of Jesus. Thank you as you cause your kingdom to come and be advanced in our lives and in our midst as your people, through the reason, through the ministry of your word and the Spirit. We bless your name, Father. We give you glory and praise. And we thank you for this and even much more which you will do. We bless your name. We give you glory and praise. Be thou glorified in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. As I bring the word tonight, let's read. Is he on the board? Okay. He said, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, has made shipwreck, of whom is Amenius and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." I want to bring a word on equipment for good warfare. Let me say, equipment for good warfare. Now, Paul wants Timothy, his son, to war a good warfare in his life, in his ministry, and the work of the Lord that he's doing. He doesn't want him to suffer loss. He doesn't want him to be defeated. He doesn't want him to have a shipwreck. And so that he can wage a good warfare, Paul outlined for him certain equipments that he needs to learn of, to take, and use faithfully and skillfully to overcome every opposition, temptation, affliction, persecution, or challenge that he may face in his life, in the work of the Lord, and in his ministry. And from the words of Apostle Paul to Timothy, we also want to learn about these equipments, and we want to wage and war a good warfare. Amen. Praise the Lord. From the scripture which we have read, amen. Paul, let's read it again. He said, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before thee, before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, has made a shipwreck." Let me just quickly outline the three equipments that are outlined here. Say prophecies. Say faith. Say good conscience. One more time. Prophecy. Faith. And a good conscience. Before I elaborate on this equipment, I want you to know that a good warfare is the warfare that you fight and win. It is not good if you lose. That's clear, Abby. Now, the person that is talking to us is Apostle Paul. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith and I finished my course. So it's worth listening to. Because he has fought a good fight too. And he said there's waiting for him a crown of life, which everybody that believes also will receive. Now, we are in a warfare. Whether you like it or not, we are in a warfare. So the best you can do is to learn about the equipment that you need so that you can have a good warfare. The issue is not, do I want a warfare? Whether you want it or not, you're already in a warfare. Amen. When Jesus started, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. So we are already in a warfare, and in many places, Apostle Paul says, saying so many things. Like 2 Corinthians 10:3, he says, Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Because the weapon of our warfare, they are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, pulling down strongholds, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and all that. So, the issue is, we have a warfare, and we need to understand the equipment that will help us, and God has provided for us to wage a good warfare. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So, what are the equipments? According to this portion we are reading, number one, prophecy. Number two, faith. Number three, good conscience. Can I hear you say prophecy? Faith and good conscience. One more time. Let me first of all talk about prophecy. Well, prophecy is the word of God. Some people call it a spoken word. Is a divinely granted and inspired utterance. But it's more than that. It can be a teaching, divinely granted teaching, preaching, or exhortation. The fact is that it is coming from the presence of God. It doesn't have to say, thus saith the Lord, and all that. Most of the preaching of pastors here are actually prophetic utterances, teachings, and all that. So prophecies are always going out in the church here. And if you take it to those prophecies, you'll be able to wage a good warfare. Praise the Lord. Like our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's read 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. I want to talk about prophecy on a higher level than just prophesying, so that we can wage a good warfare using prophecy. Let's read verse 19. What does it say? We have also, can I hear you say, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but only men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, in this portion of the scripture, it's helping us to understand that the prophecy that God is talking about goes just beyond an utterance. Amen. In fact, he calls it the prophecy of the scripture. Amen. So he's talking about scripture. So scripture is prophecy. Amen. Amen. All scripture is given by the breath of God and profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof. Amen. That the man of God may be well equipped and thoroughly furnished for every good work. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I believe. Now, are you following me? Now, here is talking about prophecy at a higher level. It's still prophecy. Amen. It's talking about prophecy of the scriptures. And he calls it a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. In comparison to vision, signs, and even utterance and all that. Now, all those are good. And the Bible says we should not despise them. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, I believe, it said we should not despise prophecy. Do you understand? It said we should prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Amen. Now, but here it's talking about a higher level of prophecy. It's talking about the prophecy of the scripture. It's talking about scriptures. And when I'm talking about now using, having the first equipment, I'm not only talking about an utterance. I'm talking about having the word of God, the sword of the spirit, wherewith you'll be able to what? Wage a good warfare. Amen. You see, in this portion of the scripture, verse 16, when Peter started to talk, he said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses. Are you following me? We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from excellent glory. This is saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Amen. Now, Peter is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about, amen, when they saw him on the mountain of transfiguration. He's talking about when they saw the cloud of glory descend. He's talking about when God spoke out of that cloud of glory, saying, this my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's what he's talking about. And that's a wonderful thing. Amen. That's one of the highest level of vision. Amen. Now, that's wonderful. But when we got to verse 19, Peter said we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What is he saying? He said the word of God which we have is more sure than the transfiguration. It's more sure than the cloud of glory. It's more sure than the word that came out of excellent glory. So now, do we despise vision? No. Amen. Amen. We hold visions that are substantiated by the scripture. Then we'll be able to wage a good warfare. Amen. 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 The spirit of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, just so, you know, things are better explained when you use a story. Do you understand what I mean? One man, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. Let's look at that word. Most of us are familiar with it. 2 Chronicles. I want to use the story of Jehoshaphat to communicate waging a good warfare with the word of God, with the prophetic utterance. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we use the last part. He said, okay, let's read all. And they arose early in the morning and went forth. Are you here? Okay, let me hear you say, read after me. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, And ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. You have heard that word before, haven't you? Amen. Amen. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. How do you believe in the Lord your God? According to the scriptures. Amen. The Bible says, if they say not, if what they say is not according to this word, there's no light in them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, then he said, believe in his servant, what? Believe in his prophet, so shall you prosper. We need both of them. Somebody say, we need both of them. We need the prophecy of the scripture, and we need the spoken prophecy. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because there are some things that you will not be able to get just by reading the scripture. Amen. There must be a prophetic utterance to shine light to make the scripture come alive. So we need both of them. Now, let me use the story of this man. You are very familiar with him. Three kings came against him, mightier than him. At the beginning of the verse, before he got here, he was operating this. That's why he declared it to the people. That's why he got the victory. He was declaring what he was operating. Is it clear? Now, three kings came against him, and he knew that he had no might to deal with them. So he went to God. When he came to God, what did he bring to God? He brought the word of God to God. Let's read 2 Chronicles 20. Let's start from verse 5. 2 Chronicles 20, let's start from verse 5. Are we there? Okay. Jehoshaphat stood. Three kings have come against him. They have told him the story. The Bible says he trembled. I don't want to believe all that because I just want to bring the principle so that we can redeem the time. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the court. He has gathered all the people together. Come, let us fast. There's a warfare that we need to fight and we must win it. Amen. So he called everybody together. All Judah gathered and he stood in the house before the house of the Lord. Let's hear what he said. Verse 6. And he said, O Lord God, our Father. Can I hear you read after me? O Lord God, our Father. Art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that there is none that is able to withstand thee? Where did he get that? From the word of God. Let's continue. Verse 6, verse 7. Art thou not God which drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to thy seed, to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Where did he get that? From the written scriptures, what Moses read, wrote down, what the kings read before he came to him. Verse 8. And they dwelt therein and have built a sanctuary therein for thy name. Verse 9. Saying, if when evil come upon us as the sword, and judgment and pestilence and famine, and we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Where did he get that? From the scriptures. God said that to Solomon when he was dedicating the temple, that anytime you have problem, an army comes against you, there's famine and all that. So he was simply quoting what God told Solomon. And what was he doing? He was quoting it to God in prayer. Amen. Amen. He has started the warfare with the word of God in his lips. Amen. Verse 10. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, Manasseh, whom thou would not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and descended and move ahead. Behold, I say now, how they reward us, to cast us out of thy possession which thou hast given to us to inherit. Go on. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. He put God on the spot. With what? His word. What did God do? And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Go ahead. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benah, the son of Jair, the son of Mataniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Yes? And he said, "Hearken ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king, Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord." Then God broke a prophetic utterance. So the word of God, the scripture, what was written came first, he stood on it, and the prophetic utterance came to give direction of how to go about the war. Hello? You know, before he started praying, he didn't know how they're going to go about the war. He wasn't even sure how they're going to conquer, but he knew that God will have to respond. Amen. With his word. Amen. So, thus saith the Lord. Let's read that. We have not finished. "Be not afraid or dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Whose battle is it? Amen. Can he wage his battle very well? Yes. Amen. So he said, "This battle is not yours, but God's." Let's go ahead. "Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the click of this. You shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel." Yes, move ahead. "You shall not need to fight in this battle." Someone say, "You shall not need to fight in this battle." When you are waging war with the word of God, you won't need to fight physically. God, using his word, will fight for you. Amen. Where are we? "Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah, O Jerusalem, fear not." Don't be afraid. "Be not dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Amen. Now, 18. "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord." Everybody is sure now that we have the victory, because God has spoken. Amen. Verse 19. "And the Levites and the children of Kohath, everybody stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high." We now get to verse 20. So the verse 20 we are reading is coming after the operation of the prophecy of the scripture and the prophetic utterance. Waging a good warfare. Now let's read that verse 20. We have read this. Let's go to 21. "When he has consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness." And they went out. Where are we? Okay, let's go back to 20, because I need to show you something there before I go, before we get to this. Now, remember now that the prophecy has, he has acted on the word of God, talked to God, a prophetic utterance has come. Now, he is now declaring this to Judah. This is, they rose up early in the morning. The prayer came yesterday. The prophetic word came yesterday. This is the morning that God said, "Tomorrow, go there." So tomorrow they were now going there. He now stood before the people and said, "Hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophet, so shall you prosper." Now, before, I used to read this part that I was trying to tell them that, you know, God has spoken to us. Let's believe what he said. Now, that is true. But God showed me another thing. He wanted to declare another thing that God has spoken to him. So he has to tell the people to continue to believe the Lord their God and believe his prophet. How did I know that? Verse 21. In verse 21, he gave an instruction after consulting with you that they should raise a choir that should go before the army. Will you do that if you don't hear God? Because God didn't say that in the prophecy. Between the night and the morning, when he was talking to God and thanking God for the victory God has promised, God gave him another instruction. Now, that instruction was not to the public. You know, the prophecy came to the public. So, he has to admonish them to believe in the Lord their God again and believe in his prophet. He is now acting as a prophet to give them the prophetic word of God. Now, you don't dare do it and go to a warfare and put a choir in front if God has not spoken to you. But they did that. And we know the story, so that I won't belabor the issue. The choir went ahead and began to sing song. Pastor Andrew,
So choir will be leading us to battle now, according to the prophetic word. So the choir began to sing, praising the Lord, and the Bible says God set ambushment against the enemy. They didn't need to fight. And he confused them, they fought one another, they finished themselves. Oh, they came to the scene and they were just carrying the spoils.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because they waged the warfare with the word of God and they won. Amen. Okay. So the word of God is the first thing. Prophecy, yes. But prophecy that is established upon the word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy by which we can know which prophecy to hold, which prophecy to let go. Amen. 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 Okay. Just a caution before I go on. He said the battle is the Lord's. Don't you dare fight a battle that the Lord has not approved. You are going to lose. Is it clear? Don't fight a battle for fighting's sake. There's one king in Israel that made that mistake. Josiah. And he was a good king, but he missed God in that area. Let's quickly read that story because God wants me to emphasize it. Amen. If you don't have the word of God for a battle, don't go to that battle. Wait upon him until you have the word. Okay, let's read that story. 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 20 to 24. Is he on the board? Okay. Now, after all this, that man has done many exploits for God. You know, he has removed all the groves, all the altars, all the, you know, familiar people, witchcraft. He has done everything that was pleasing God. And after this, after he has prepared the temple, they have done Passover, something that Israel has not done after they have gone and warring. Necho, the king of Egypt, verse 20. Necho, the king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. That is the king of Assyria. And Josiah went out against him. Who asked him to go out? Did he come out to fight Josiah? What concerns him with the battle? Why do you want to fight a battle that is not your own? Why do you want to fight a battle that God has not asked you to? Why do you want to fight a battle without the word of the Lord? He did everything good with the word of the Lord, but he missed it there and he lost his life. You will not lose your life. Amen. Let's read quickly. God wants me to emphasize that. He sent and the king of Egypt sent ambassadors to Josiah and said, "What have I to do with you, thou king of Judah? I come not against you this day." So God was using the mouth of an heathen to warn him. But against the house wherein I have war, God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God. Who is with me that he destroyed it not? This is a heathen. God asked him to go and finish the king of Assyria. Let's go on verse 22. Nevertheless, Josiah will not turn his face from him. He disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. Yes, verse 23. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servant, "Have me away, for I am wounded." Well, we can read the rest when we get home. He lost his life over a battle that he should not have fought at all. He was meddling in another person's battle. Amen. Which the Lord has even commanded the person, don't be involved. But he violated it. So he lost the battle, not because God didn't want to give him the victory, but he was not fighting the battle that God has instructed. Amen. Mind your own battle. Amen. No man go a warfare at any time at his own charge. Amen. We are not fighting battle for fighting's sake. We are fighting the battle of the... Amen. To advance the kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me quickly mention the second equipment. Lord, have mercy on me. Faith. You know, when Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, that thou mayest wage a good warfare, holding faith. Somebody say holding faith. Somebody say holding faith. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, we know that, said this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. Now, faith is not going to come until you hear the word of God. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us that faith comes out by hearing by the word of God. Now, when the word of God comes, it becomes your responsibility to mix faith with it. You know, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, verse 1, verse 2, it said, unto us was the gospel preached as it was preached unto them. Huh? But the word preached did not profit them. Why? They did not mix faith with it. Amen. After the word of God has come, after you have discovered the more sure word of prophecy concerning the battle that you are involved in, then you must mix faith with the word of God. Nobody else will mix faith with it. It's you. Amen. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Amen. 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 You must mix faith with it. That's what happened to Jehoshaphat. It actually takes faith to put a choir before an army. Nobody else has done it in the scripture. Did you see anybody doing it in the scripture? It takes faith. Amen. You must mix faith with it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mix faith with it. Now, let me use a story to explain mixing faith with the word of God. David as Ziklag. You see, there are some things that it's better to use a story rather than teach faith principle. Now, David and his men went out, and by the time they came back, 1 Samuel chapter 30, you can put it on the board. By the time they came back, in verse 1, the Amalekites has come to their camp, which is Ziklag. They have burned their camp. They have taken their wives and their children, their sons and daughters, and all their property. They have taken it away. Now, they went out on a mission for God. By the time they came back, that was where they met. And everybody was aggrieved. Everybody was sorrowful. The Bible says the men of war, they wept and wept and wept, and they could not weep anymore. And after they were, because they were grieved, they look at it and say, it is this you, David, that took us out. If you have not taken us out, we'll be in Ziklag. When they came, we'll have warded them away. So they decided to stone David. And even David himself was distressed. But let's read verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Can we read together? David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. How did he do that? He recalled all that God has done faithfully. I was just sitting watching sheep in the field, when they said they should go and bring me hurriedly. And I came there and they said, oh yeah, kneel down, put your head down. And they pour oil there. I didn't ask for kingship. Hello? They said they have rejected all my brothers before I came. And they said they will not stop until I came. God did that. He must have loved me. Amen. He remember when he was in the wilderness and a bear came. And he went after it and killed it. A lion came, he killed it. Goliath came. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And God gave him the victory. You remember when Saul wanted to kill him? And he said, go and deceive him. Tell him to marry the daughter of the king. Then when he said, okay, I'm going to marry the daughter of the king. He said, what dowry do you need? He said, 100 false kings of Philistine. Why? Saul wanted to kill him secretly. At least, so by that Philistine, look, one eliminate. So I'm going to find out he's going to get 100 foreskin. But you know what? The Lord went with him. He got 200 and brought it to the feet of Saul. Anyway, he married the king's daughter. He said, God that was faithful in all those times, he will be faithful now. He said, what should we do? We must find what God is saying about this buff here. He said, call me Abiathar the priest. And Abiathar came. He said, Abiathar, what is the Lord saying? Shall I pursue this company? Will I overtake? Will I recover? Next verse. This. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake and without fail recover all. The word of the Lord came. The prophetic word came. And David acted on it. Verse 9. And David went. He must be a man of faith. All the people that cried and cried, that couldn't cry and stop, do you understand? And they were so distressed. But the word of the Lord, he encouraged them and they all stood up and followed him. He must have believed in the word of God. Do you understand? To get 600 men to follow you to a war after they have lost, he said, look, God has spoken. He said, we should pursue. He said, we will overtake and you will get your wife back. You get your son back. You get your daughter back. You get your sheep back. You get your ox back. Your property is coming back. That's what God said. Oh yeah, rise. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Yeah. Amen. This is not the time to be this. Let's go. And all the 600 of them, they followed him. His faith got them up to act on the word of God. He mixed faith with the prophetic word of God. Well, I don't need to read all the stories. You know what happened? He went. Amen. He found one Egyptian in the road that was almost dead, and he said they should give him water. They gave him water, they gave him food, the spirit revived. He ministered love. That's faith for you. Yeah. Ministering love. Yeah. Then he said, Oga, who are you? He said, I'm an Egyptian, the servant of the Amalekite. We were dead, Ziklag. We burned it and we took all this. He said, Amen. Instead of being moved with, let me finish. He said, no, okay. No. Do you know where they are? He said, okay. Can you bring me there? He said, I can bring you there. Okay. Promise me that you won't hand me over. I won't. Just bring me there. And he brought him to the amen. Faith worked by love. And he met them. They were already rejoicing with all the spoils, like the terrorists in Sambisa Forest before they banished them out. Amen. Amen. And the Bible said, with his men, 200 went, 200 said they couldn't go. He took 400. You know, he surrounded them, collected his wife, finished all of them. And the Bible said, and David recovered all. How did he recover all? By mixing faith with the word of God. Amen. Very simple. Is it not? Okay. Acting in faith. Amen. Mixing it with love. Amen. Action. Acting on the word of God. Amen. Let's go to the third one. We are talking about equipment for good warfare. Amen. And a good warfare is a warfare in which you fight and you win. Amen. Praise the Lord. The next one is a good conscience. Someone say good conscience. Good conscience. Amen. Let's read some scripture so that I can define good conscience for us. We should know what it is, but let's take scripture to establish it. Acts chapter 23 verse 1. Is he on the board? Okay, this is Paul talking. I found out when studying the scripture that Paul talked a lot about conscience than any writer in the scripture. So, let's listen to him. Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. So, Paul said he has lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Now let's now see how he described a good conscience. Same Acts of Apostles chapter 24 verse 16. If I can have it in Amplified. Therefore, I always exercise and discipline myself, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetite, worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, blameless conscience, void of offense towards God and towards men. So a good conscience is a conscience that is void of offense towards God and towards men. Is it not clear? Using the scripture to interpret. Let's go ahead. There's still more. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12. Let's read in King James. For our rejoicing is this. Can we read together? For our rejoicing is this. the testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly towards you. Amen. A good conscience is a conscience that bear witness with you that you are living your life in godly sincerity and purity, not with fleshly wisdom. Shall I repeat? This is the testimony of our conscience. The way the conscience works in our faculty in us is that it talks. When you are doing something wrong, it will accuse you. That's wrong. When they are doing something right, do you understand me? It will encourage you. That's right. Is it clear? That's the conscience. It's a faculty in our spirit. Amen. God put it there. Amen. Now, you can have a good conscience. You can have a bad conscience. You can have a seared conscience. You can have an evil conscience. God forbid, we will have good consciences. Now, if we are going to wage a good warfare, we need a good conscience. A conscience that bear witness that we are living godly, without fleshly wisdom. We are not doing it, do you understand me, with the wisdom of man. But we are doing by the grace of God with the wisdom of the word of God. Amen. Let's read further. We are trying to define a good conscience. Abi, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2. Thank you, sir. This word is a very familiar word with us here. He said, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Continue. But I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. A good conscience is a conscience that encourages you to do what? To renounce hidden things. It points the hidden things, so that's wrong. And encourage you. Do you understand what I mean? Amen. To renounce handling the word of God deceitfully. Do you know that a prophetic word can come and you can add your own interpretation to it? It's a good conscience that will tell you that God did not say that one. No. Hello? Hello? A prophetic word can come and you can add your own to it, or you can remove from it, or you can add your interpretation to it. It takes a good conscience to tell you that alone, Masoyen. Now, nobody else may know, but you will know. That's why you need a good conscience to wage a good warfare. The Bible said, which some haven't put away, they made a shipwreck. God wants you to wage a good warfare, not make a shipwreck. Amen. Amen. Things are best understood with a story. Let me tell you another story of somebody who exercised a good conscience. Amen. Before I conclude that, there's one other scripture that will highlight this conscience thing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. Just Hebrews 13. Pray for us. Someone say, pray for us. For we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live. A good conscience is a conscience that is willing to live honestly before God and before man. Do you understand? I think that is clear. I don't need to. Now, how does he operate? A good conscience is also equivalent to a good heart. They are synonymous terms. And remember, in the parable of the sower, it's only the good heart that brought forth fruit. Without a good conscience, the word of God cannot be fruitful in your life. That means without a good conscience, you can never use prophecy and faith to wage a good warfare. Did you get it? Now, most of the time, we talk about the prophecy, the word. We talk about what? Faith. But we don't talk about that good conscience. And that is what will bring the shipwreck. That will make what will bring the loss, the defeat. You need the three. Yes, we need the word of God. Yes, we need faith. but we need a good conscience too. Amen. In a good heart. Out of the heart, you know. That's why the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows. Amen. Okay, let me use a story again to illustrate it. Acts chapter 16. We want to use the story of Paul. You know, he's the one talking about a good conscience. In Acts chapter 16, they have been going about proclaiming the gospel among the Jews, among the Gentiles. In verse 6, let's start from verse 6. When they have gone throughout Phrygia, can you read after me? When they have gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit suffered them not. Verse 8. And they passing by to Mysia, came down to Troas. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel unto them. Now, is it right to preach the gospel? But you should only preach the gospel where God has asked you to preach it. Now, they wanted to go into some area, Asia. They eventually went to Asia in Acts chapter 19. The Bible said the Holy Spirit suffered them not. How did he do that? It was in their conscience. When they wanted to go, they lost their peace. Their neighbor said, every time I fell in love with me, then they prayed and they recognized that the Holy Spirit doesn't want that. Okay, then they said, okay, let's try this other. And again, the Bible said, the Holy Spirit forbid. So I said, we want to go here. I said, don't go. We want to go here. Don't go. Then we should wait on him until he tells us where to go. Amen. Amen. Then in verse 8, he said, at midnight, or when? Where is it? A vision appeared to Paul in the night. You should ask yourself, what was Paul doing in the night that he got the vision? He was praying. He was asking God for direction. You said, we shouldn't go here. We shouldn't go here. And we want to go where you said, at least, what should we do? And in the midst of prayer, a vision appeared. And he saw the man, a man of Macedonia. You know, he's a cosmopolitan man. So he can, this man is from Macedonia. Okay. And the man was praying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 10. So after he saw the vision, now he was the only one who saw the vision. At least 10 people can see a vision together. He was the one who saw the vision. So he called everybody together and told them the vision. This is what I saw in the night when I was praying. And I perceived that God said we should go to Macedonia. Look at what the Bible said. He said, assuredly gathering. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord has called us. They didn't say call Paul. Amen. So all of them with good conscience, they could pick that. John, there was agreement. The agreement came out of good conscience. It seemed well. So they all went to Macedonia. Now, you know what happened in Macedonia? Do you know what happened in Macedonia? Amen. That's Philippi. That was where they beat him up. They beat him up. Apostle, they stripped him naked and throw him inside the deepest dungeon and put him in stock. But it was God that asked him to go. I said, God, I wanted to go to Bithynia. You said, no. And we waited on that. And we pray. And you said, Macedonia. And we all agree with good conscience and we followed you. Amen. That was why at midnight. Amen. He sat down and he looked at how they got to that jail. What did we do wrong? We wanted to go here. God said, don't go. And we agreed. We wanted to go there. God said, don't go. And we agreed. Then we prayed and he gave us a vision. And we all agreed that it is so. And we followed in sincerity of heart, honesty of heart. Now we got here. Okay. When we got there, things were going well. There were people responding. At least the day I gave our lives to the Lord. And we are sleeping in our house. Then everywhere, everybody was following us. Until one girl who has a spirit of divination said, these are the men of God who have come to show. But the Bible said, Paul perceived in his spirit that this is a wrong guy. And he said, commanded the devil to come out. After the devil came out, that was when the trouble. Amen. So persecution and affliction will arise for the world's sake. It wasn't because they were doing anything wrong. It was because they were doing things right. Hello? So, that's where you need a good conscience. You obey God. You did the will of God. And it seems it landed you in more trouble. Will you blame God? Say, that was why he had the confidence to pray in the night. Do you understand? I doubt how many of us will pray in the night after they are beating you up, strip you naked, and giving you koboko and all that. Mosquito in the deep. You know, the dungeons is not, this modern day prison which you'll be watching television and the AC and life. Dungeon, it is pit. Inside the pit of the. But the Bible said at midnight they prayed. What gave them the confidence to pray? They knew that they were in the will of God. They were in the center of God's will. Their conscience bore them witness. And with good conscience, they call upon God. And God answered. Amen. Amen. The foundation of the prison was shaken. When Peter was put in prison, God didn't come down. He sent an angel. Amen. But when it came to Paul, God himself came down. How did I know? Amen. Go and read Psalm. The Bible said, when David said, when I call upon the Lord, he went before me and the heart shook before him. God himself came down and shook the prison. How can you hold my people here? I sent them to come and preach here, to come and help you. You are holding them now. The whole prison shook. The prison door opened. Their chains loosed. And to tell you that they were coming, they didn't come out. The jailer wanted to kill, said, don't kill yourself. We are still inside here. Amen. And the man said, and he believed in him. He said, what must I do to be saved? Did they preach to him? He saw the hand of God. Amen. And they preached to him, you must believe in Jesus Christ, that and your household. And the man was saved. They baptized him midnight. Not in the morning, midnight. A woman baptized him. Amen. I want to give you to know that that man in the jail was the man they saw in the vision. So they need to go to prison to get him. Hello? The man they saw in the vision. That was the man. The man was the man in the prison. And there's no way Paul will go to prison to go and preach. So he must get to prison. Amen. So that the word of God can be fulfilled. But, amen. What we are simply saying is that you need those three things. The prophetic word of God, faith, and a good conscience to wage a good warfare. Amen. I think I should be rounding up now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Why this equipment? Because they will always guarantee us victory all the time. Number one, why must we use this equipment, all the three of them together? They ensure victory all the time. 10 times out of 10 times. Amen. Amen. Many may be the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of them all. When the righteous is using those four things, the word, faith, and a good conscience, God guarantees deliverance from all. So there is victory for every affliction. There is victory for every battle. There is victory. Do you understand what I mean? Amen. So when you use the right equipment, you have victory all the time. Now, you may suffer affliction, you may go through rough times, but you will end up with victory. In that prison, you know, they wanted to, they said, please release them, let them go. Paul said, me. You bring them here. Me, a Roman citizen, you lock me up without any tragedy. They came to beg him, Joe, Edakum, Ejo, Amo, Akiniko, Ejo, please. Amen. But they established a church in the prison. Amen. And they fulfilled the purpose of God. Amen. We are not fighting war just to fight war. We are fighting war to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. In our own lives and the lives of people will come. So, there's victory all the time. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, thanks be unto God, who always, somebody say always. Somebody say always. Somebody say always. Can I have that scripture? Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. What is this year? Amen. So you can always triumph. It's the good conscience that brings the mercy. Hello? It's the good conscience that attracts the mercy that will make you to triumph. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. It's to him that God showeth mercy. And mercy comes before because of what? That good conscience. The honest heart. Honesty of heart. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So God wants us to use this equipment so that we will prevent defeat, we prevent losses and shipwrecks in our lives. You remember Apostle Paul? Again, the same Paul in Acts 27. He told them when they were about to start that voyage, I perceive that this voyage will not be without damage. Give me that verse. Is it verse 9 or 10? Okay. Sirs, I perceive that this journey will be without and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. He picked it. That's the prophetic word to save everybody from shipwreck. But what happened to the captain of the ship and the centurion? Verse what? Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Why will he believe a prisoner? Say a prisoner that we are taking to Rome. But that was not a prisoner. It was a prisoner of the Lord. That was the prophetic voice on that ship. God didn't want them to make a shipwreck, but they ignore his word. Don't ever ignore the word of God. Don't let it sleep. How shall we escape this great salvation and victory that God has prepared for us? If we let the word of God, which is spoken to us, sleep. They ignored him. But eventually, he was the one who bailed them out. Amen. Because they ignored the word, they didn't believe in him. They didn't believe in his prophecy. They didn't believe the prophet. Now, at the beginning, the first 3 days, it seems everything was going on well. Then came that tempest called Euroclydon. Then he took the ship. And for the next 14 days, they didn't see the sun. They didn't see the stars. And it was just storm, 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 storm. And they said all hope of being saved were lost. They started throwing out their own baggages and everything to prevent the ship from capsizing. Then after long abstinence, Paul stood up again. Amen. Amen. Verse 21, I believe. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them saying, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have suffered, to have gained this harm and loss. God didn't want harm and loss. But they ignored the word of God. They believed not his prophet. Verse 22. Now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Verse 24. Say, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. That is his mission. You will get to your destination. The storm will not stop you. The giant will not stop you. The adversaries will not stop you. When you are using this equipment, you will wage a good warfare. You will overcome all of them. You will get to your destination. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Lo, God has given this. All of them that say with you. So, verse 25, look at what he said. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. Can you see him operating that principle again? the word of God came to an angel and he told them, but me, I'm a stickler for believing God because my victory lies there. Therefore, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And that's what saved all of them. Now, they lost the sheep because God said they would lose the sheep for their disobedience. All the cargo. But God saved their life because of Paul's intercession. They should not have suffered that loss. They should not have suffered that shipwreck. You know what happened? They didn't take hold of the word of God. They didn't take hold of faith. And they did not take hold of a good conscience. And they suffer loss. Amen. Amen. So, in conclusion, we need this equipment to wage a good warfare so that we can get to our destination. The perfection and the fullness of Christ. There are many war on the way, battles on the way. Like I've just said, there are storms, there are giants, there are adversities both in our flesh, in the air, and all that. But there are equipment that God has given to us to triumph. Amen. Jesus said what? In this world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's use all this equipment day in, day out, and we will have victory all the time. Let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Oh yes, I want to see you. Oh Lord my God, I want to see you. Open the eyes, open the eyes
of my heart, Lord.
Open, open the heart of my heart. I want
to see you.
Oh, I want to see you. To see you, to see you. I am lifted up, shining, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. Open the eye. Open the eye of my heart. Oh Lord, I want to see you. Help me, oh Lord, I want to see you. Begin to talk to God. Let's commit ourselves afresh to giving heed to the prophetic word, to the word of God, the most sure word of prophecy that is coming out to us day in, day out. Let's commit ourselves afresh to mixing faith with it. Let's commit ourselves afresh to holding it with a good conscience, so that by them we may wage a good warfare. We may win the battle of life 10 times out of 10 times. Let's begin to receive the mercy of God afresh. If you see the places as the word was coming out, you now see places where you have missed it that made you lose some battles in time past. It's time now to talk to God, to acknowledge your shortcomings, either confess his sins and forsake them. We obtain mercy. It's the year of fullness of mercy to triumph. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, there is no temptation, there is no trial, there is no war, no affliction that is confronting you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. With the same temptation, he will make a way of escape by sending us his word, by strengthening us through faith as we wait upon him, so that we can overcome, so that we can bear it. Whatever you have lost in time past because you didn't use those three equipment, God say, I will restore. If you commit yourself to begin to wage a good warfare. Shall we pray? Let's put our left hand on our chest and our right hand up. Shall we pray and say, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us. As we pray, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word which you have sent to me today, showing me the equipments I need to take and use faithfully so that I can wage a good warfare in my pursuit of God, purpose and destiny. Heavenly Father, I commit myself to the word of God, to the most sure word of the word of God, even the prophetic scripture, to mix in faith with it whenever it comes unto me, and to hold it with a good conscience, so that I will not make a shipwreck. Rather, I will win every battle of life that is before me, so that the storm will not stop me, so that the giants will not stop me, so that the mountains will not stop me, so that the adversaries will not stop me, but through you, by your word, with faith, with good conscience, I will triumph to the abundance of your mercy. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name. We give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rika lakapo, yeklerebo sata, mekata, rabakapa, yeklerebo soto, bremokota kata, rabababababa, yeklerebo sotoba, yeklerebo soto, bao kapale, magagagaga, mekato, mekata, mikoto, pekara, rubakapaya, bekopalabaya, rubado de yekotopa, rabababa, rabababa, rabababababaya, rubado, Bado balebaya bromakote rabababa mekato mekate mekato mekate mekato mekate rabakapa kupaya rabakapa lubaya robado de dodobaya bramakote bramakoteya rabababa kapo mekate makatopa rabakopa bromokote rabakopale bromakote kete kete rude kapaya. Bromo kote kete, ye clara vasta de, mekotai.